I would like to pray with you for God's word to be revealed for us this morning, for God's voice to be heard, for God's heart and mind to be shared, and that Vinny's words would not come out of this mic. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for the word of God, for your presence in this place, for my brothers and sisters, and for our leadership. And God, you've been so awesome, God. We thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for everything. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you have complete freedom this morning. We give you control. We give you all honor, all glory, all praise. And we're aware that we depend on you, God, for our hearts to receive, for our minds to understand. What do you have for us this morning? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, right? Wow, that's amazing. As our brother shared, sometimes we walk in and we are just amazed when we realize the amount of blessings we've been receiving from God. Amen? Today, my dear brothers and sisters, I would like to share with you some characteristics that we can see and that we could maybe try to imitate, why not, about Abraham's life. And if I would ever give a title to this, you know, to this time of sharing here, I would like to say friends of God. Friends of God. Who wants to be friends with God? Oh, amen. That's amazing. It's so good to have a friend. Isn't that true? You know, to have that person where you know you can count with at the most difficult times. Wow. A friend, I mean, having a friend is something priceless. And we'll see that Abraham could be called friend of God. And why? We'll read some scriptures together. James chapter 2, verses 21. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, many people, well, when you say Abraham, many people would just see that image of the ultimate faith tests, like Abraham with his son Isaac, the son of the promise, right? Abraham, like, about to sacrifice his dearest promise. Like, I hear from every parent that there's nothing like as precious as their kids. But we see that in the life of Abraham, his commitment with God, his trust in God, his love for God was even dearest. It was amazing. It was such a, wow, it's hard to explain. Let's see more about this. Very often we hear people saying, oh my God, I'm not sure if I would ever be able to do this, if I would ever be able to do what Abraham did. Or at least what he was about to do, right? Because we know that at the end of the day, the angel of the Lord showed up and he didn't let Abraham sacrifice Isaac. But we are sure that he could do it. He was going to do it. The angel had to stop him. Well, some would even say, I would never. Some people would affirm, I would never be able to do this. Well, it's good to understand that the ultimate test of Abraham's faith was preceded by many other smaller but still great faith tests. It's also interesting to realize that when we are tested, our character and our most intimate characteristics are shown. They are revealed, right? We can't hide it. So I invite you for us to check together some of Abraham's characteristics in dealing with God's command, God's promises, and God's test. Amen? Let's read this together. Genesis 12, 1-4. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Wow, 75 years old. We know from Scripture that Abraham was a wealthy man. Like, he was well established. He had many servants and many sheep and goats and whatever would make someone rich at that time, right? He had plenty. He had plenty. He lacked nothing. Well, except for a few things that we'll see together. But it's amazing to realize there's like a brief report on Abram's response. At the last verse, verse 4, it's clear that his obedience was immediate and unquestioning. Amazing. He just stood up, raised, and that's something interesting. That man, for sure, was so well established that I can affirm that he was in a good zone of comfort. He was. He didn't have to worry about things. He was okay. He was doing super good. That's one of the biggest and most amazing characteristics in Abraham's life. Submission to God's direction. It could look to someone that, you know, it's too obvious maybe to say that, oh, you should trust God's direction. It doesn't mean it's easy, right? It does not mean. It's not the same thing, unfortunately, right? What if God's direction goes against the things that we've conquered till this day? What if God's direction for you right now means you giving up dreams that you have? Maybe giving up old friendships. What if God would tell you to go to a place maybe so far and so different? Well, and we need to realize that at that time, it was much harder to communicate with family and friends compared to nowadays, right? So going far, very far at that time, was the same thing as saying you're giving up all family members that would not come with you, all friends that, you know, that are not following you. And Abraham faced that. What if we were to face the same things? Abraham's submission to God's direction meant getting up, getting out of his comfort zone. Sometimes I've prayed, God, I want your will to be done in my life, in my family's life. And we often do this prayer. We often pray this, and I believe we do with all our heart. But we need to take a look on Abraham's life and example this morning and think about this and how deep this prayer is. And ask God to look to search our hearts and really make us more attached to him than to anything else. What if God's direction to my life for the future means dealing with a complete new lifestyle? Maybe a new occupation. Maybe I've studied for doing this or that. What if God has something new for me? What if God wants me to start from scratch? Maybe you're 25, you're 35, or maybe you're 60 years old. It's never late to start from scratch. Like Abraham at that point was 75 years old. I guess he thought he was like about to retire, right? About to retire. No, he was about to start, to really start his life. He didn't know, but those years to come would be like the most amazing, exciting, marvelous years of his life. The years that he would battle so many battles. The years that he would conquer so many battles in his life. Abram didn't know where he was going. I try to think our lives nowadays. Let's say your source of income is the nice job that you have, and you love your job. Let's take this as an example. You just love your job. You love your employer. You're doing fine. You have plans for the future. You think, well, maybe if one day if I don't have my own thing, I might stay in this job till I retire because I just love it. Why not? Then let's say this employer calls you and says, hey, Jonathan, we are going to transfer you. And you're like, oh, yeah, is that right? I say, yeah. Where to? Oh, I can't tell you yet. But do this. Pack right now and be ready because I'm taking you to a place you don't know. Just pack, you know, just pack and be ready because I'm taking you. How many of us would go? How many of us, you know, this is an awesome job. This is an awesome employer. But how many of us would, you know, get up and pack and be ready to move on? But Abraham went, amen? He just stood up and he went. That's amazing. That's an example that we could pray and we could ask the Holy Spirit to apply in our lives, to be that submissive to God's direction. Amen. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. What if God's direction doesn't make sense? We've seen that many times, and our pastors have been sharing with us. Sometimes God would say something, God would give a command, and not always, he would say it right away why he's doing that. We have to acknowledge that our minds are so limited. We can't see a minute from now. And that's why sometimes when God makes those huge promises for our lives, we need to admit that sometimes it doesn't make sense at all. Like, we kind of feel like, sometimes we don't say this, but we kind of feel like, oh my gosh, it's almost like being a little bit dumb, like to, you know, to believe this or to believe that. You know, what God promised to Abraham and the price that Abraham had to pay at that point didn't make any sense to his natural mind. It meant he had to forsake every security that he has enjoyed till that point. It meant not knowing the destination, and by not knowing the destination, not knowing how to prepare for, you know, the challenges. He didn't know if the place was dry or rainy or full of rocks. He didn't know. But Abraham was submitted to God's direction, and he didn't question God. We don't find in the Word of God Abraham questioning God's direction at that point or any other point. And we need to admit, to the human mind, this just doesn't make sense. By nature, we question things. By nature, we want to know why, how, when, for what purpose. And we agree that it's just, it's okay to want to know those things. That's when faith in God and trusting God takes us to like a new level. It's not human strength. It's not human mind. It's God's. I don't know why, but since I became a follower of Christ, I've been always pray this, God, please give me your heart and give me your mind. Since I realized and I could, you know, start calling myself a Christian, I've been praying this, God, please give me your heart and give me your mind. Why? Well, today I think I understand, like, the Holy Spirit was leading me to pray that way, because we don't know how to pray, right? But he leads us on how to pray, because it's so hard, you know. We don't have God's heart. We don't have his mind. So for many times, we'll be in conflict because he wants to share his heart with us, and he wants to share his mind, and we can't understand it. And there was something else. If you see God's promises to Abraham, okay, he promised a few things. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. That's God's call for you to follow his direction. Amen. So God said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Wow, that really, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So it's amazing. God was blessing Abraham. Yeah, for sure. But the biggest thing here that I saw was God was saying, you will be a servant. You will bless others. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So God was calling him to serve, to be a servant. And he was well served. Well, like, I mean, naturally and humanly, he was well served by others. I'm sure he had the means to be served. But the call from God was for him to bless others. So it's amazing. I ask this question because nowadays, I'm not trying to be hard with our generation. I guess during all humankind, you know, existence, we tend to first think, how are we going to be blessed, right? How are we going to be blessed? But God's direction was clear into saying that the greatest thing was Abraham would bless others. And I ask myself, how does that sound in my life when I hear that? God called me to bless others. Wow, that's amazing. It takes some change of heart, you know, to feel good about this, to not think, oh, I'm going to be served, I'm going to be blessed, but I am going to bless, I am going to serve. That's what Jesus did, right? He didn't come to be served or to be blessed. It's quite the opposite. And that's what happened to Abraham. Three reasons why Abraham obeyed. First, because of his confidence in God's will. Confidence in God's will is faith. Because of his consciousness of God's will. That's submission. That's to realize that there's a higher will and that you might be much better if you're, you know, under that will. So consciousness of God's will, that's submission. And because of his commitment to God's will, which was his obedience, he was committed to see God's will fulfilled in his life, his family members, to bless all the families on the earth. Interesting to realize that he never demanded any explanation. That's an interesting thing about faith. Faith in God does not need an explanation. It's a gift from God. That's why in the Word of God it says that you could ask for faith, and God would give it to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, and that's what we're doing here today, and that's what we're doing every morning when we do our devotionals and when we go to a community group and we share, when we go to Bible study. We're filled with the Word of God, and that raises faith in our lives. And when that faith is raised, wow, it looks like things are all possible. It looks like, and they are, by faith. So Abraham, he never needed a human explanation for God's promises and God's command and direction in his life. He just submitted to it. If we study the various victories that the people of God had in the Bible, we realize that each victory was the result of their obedience, and not their mightiness, not their war ability, and you know how skilled they were. It was always attached to their obedience to God. And it's amazing to see that God, he really has pleasure with the children, you know, who are following him without reservation, without, you know, divided minds. I want to pause now here and pray with you. Because I know that sometimes it's so hard not to have an explanation. It's so hard not to see tomorrow's outcome and just believe and just stand firm in God's promise and God's direction. Amen. Now let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit, I want to thank you so much for the word that you've been sharing with us. God, the example of what you did through Abraham's life and the way you moved and the way you showed things to our lives through Abraham's testimony and the way he submitted to your direction. Oh, Holy Spirit, sometimes, many times, it's not easy just to follow and to trust and to do all those things without questioning a single letter. Holy Spirit, I want to ask you for your help. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to give this faith to our hearts, to have your mind, O Lord. We want to have your heart, God. We want to understand. We're not asking for an explanation. We just want to realize and feel and just know, God, that you're ahead of us and you're taking the lead, God, and we don't have to worry. In Jesus' name, God, I ask you those things. In Jesus' name, God. Amen. Amen. He was willing to depend on God. It's amazing. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 21 to 23, we see Abraham, he went back to rescue his nephew Lot that was living in Sodom. And it was interesting because for Abraham to rescue part of his family, he had to defeat four huge, tribes, like four nations. And he did that. After he defeated those other nations, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, because he had not only rescued his nephew Lot, he had rescued like all the goods and all the people who they took as slaves. So Sodom proposed, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, with raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you would never be able to say, I made Abram rich. It's interesting. Abram, in the middle of the journey, he happened to be there in that situation where he had to defeat, those tribes, and he just had so many goods and people. If Abram wanted like to take that people that he rescued and say, you now are going to serve me, he could have done this. He could. And he could have keep like all those goods to him. And for sure, imagine the goods from four nations. Imagine like the amount of riches. But Abram didn't want like a shortcut, to the blessing. He didn't hear from God that those people would be his people and that those goods would be his goods. So he understood that those things didn't come from God to him. So let's see what happened. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man would not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Wow. Right after Abraham dismissed that looked like a huge blessing, God shows up to Abraham and just reaffirms the promise and say, look, what you just gave up can never be compared to what I keep in store for you, my servant. You'll be much more than this. And this thing that you're still missing, this son that you want so dearly, I will give it to you. And your descendants will fill the earth. If you can count the stars, then you'll be able to count them. Wow, that's amazing. We see that Abraham, he separated from the godless crowd. You know, he wanted nothing to do with whatever came from Sodom, from Gomorrah. He didn't want those things. When God gave him the command to separate from his nephew Lot, Abraham, you know, as the oldest of them, Abraham could have looked to Sodom and Gomorrah's side and picked that side. But they've heard, you know, that was a wicked and godless land. And he didn't want anything to do with what was away from God, what was godless. He didn't want those things. That's amazing. Like, that was a huge test of Abraham's faith also. And he just showed that, you know, I trust better what my God has to give to me. Like, I trust his promise, and I won't look back. And I'm sure he didn't look back. Romans 4, 18 to 21 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Wow. 25 years later, Abraham is blessed with Isaac. Can you imagine, like, the amount of battles and how many times Abraham's faith was tested during those 25 years? So many. We don't have time this morning to go after all of them. But the key point was, he never lacked faith. You know, battle after battle, battle after battle. Situations that would for sure bring doubts, one after the other. He never stopped believing. So he stood on the promise, and he stood on the dependence of God. It's good for us this morning to remember about a few promises of God. And let me assure you this, what he has promised, he will do. He will. There's no doubt. If God told you something, if he has promised you something, there's no questioning. There should be no questioning. He will do it, even though it looks impossible. Amen. It's amazing to realize how big and how great is our God, and to know his word. I was really thankful to hear Brother Joel thanking for God's word. If it's not for God's word, how would we know all these things, right? Let's take a look at a few promises. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If there's something that we could never doubt, it's about God's capability of saving us. And that's one of the biggest lies that the enemy tries to put in our minds and hearts, is that you're not worthy. There's no way God can forgive you. There's no salvation for you. You've gone too far, you know. You've gone too far. Don't even try to look up, because, you know, And the enemy would say things such as, you're useless. Not even your family loves you. Things like this. So how could a pure God love you at the point that he would give everything to have you, to own you? So we need to rebuke those thoughts. We need to rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, everyone. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We're living in a so stressed world. Sometimes if we were to do like a list of the things that we're anxious about, people would give us a piece of paper and say, where's more? Where I need more pieces of paper. It's this generation, like the way we've been raised, you know, it's amazing, like the way this word is tending like to shape the kids and everyone else is, you want something, you're going to get it right away. And if you can't, or if you have to wait, some people have stress seizures or something like this. They go nuts if they can't get what they want. Cast all your anxiety. Hebrews 13:5, the last part of verse 5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This is such a comforting promise for our lives. If we know and if we acknowledge that in every little second and wherever we're going, God is on our side. God is ahead of us. God is in us. We realize children of the living God, and that makes the difference. Where people tend to think that they can't because of this, this, and that. And you knowing that without the Lord you just can't, or without the Lord it's not worth it, it makes a difference. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He has promised to meet our needs. Sometimes I talk to people, especially like very young guys, and I see this happening over and over and over again, which is they're afraid of God's will. They're afraid. They think that they know better and that God's will for their lives might not be as pleasant as their own. How can that be true? You know, the same God who created heaven, earth, man's knowledge can barely, you know, grasp. He knows all the way ahead of us. He sees the future. We don't need to be afraid. I know someone needs to hear this morning. I'll tell you again. You don't need to be afraid. There's no need to be afraid. Our God will meet all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Look what's written in John 15, 13, and 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything. God is calling us friends. Who are God's friends? The ones who do what he commands. Amen. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Did Abraham pass the test? He did. But you know, the ultimate, the greater test didn't come before, you know, the little ones. God teaches us and God perfect us in our daily walk with him through the little tests, so that when the big tests come, we're ready. And not for our own sake, but to give glory to him. I was thinking, like, how was Abraham a blessing to all nations on the earth? And then I thought about Jesus's, bloodline and the way, you know, all those generations after Abraham, like the way they were faithful to God and the way they were sharing the word of God and the law with the kids. And, you know, what a blessing. What a great difference it makes when a servant of God is faithful and is able to plant that seed along. I understand that if it wasn't for Abraham's faithfulness, wow, can you believe that? I mean, can you think about this? If Abraham was not faithful to God, but he passed the test, what kind of faith, huh? What kind of faith in God? Wow. Abraham's intention was to, like, you know, plunge the knife into maybe the heart or the neck of his dear son. And God knew it. God knew he was capable of doing it. Would we pass the test? Will I pass the test? I know that God expects me to surrender all to him. Because that's the best. That's nothing else could be better than this. To have every little detail of my life surrendered to his will. Everything. My own life, my family, job, dreams, everything. And if I would ever be asked to sacrifice what is dearest to me, I would have to be prepared, because God has been great. We took minutes this morning thanking God. So by knowing how good he has been to us, that's a reassurance of his faithfulness, and that he wants no bad things for us. So if asked to sacrifice my dearest things or ones, I pray that I would be ready to sacrifice, as Abraham was ready to sacrifice. Always remembering that this thing about sacrificing, God is the one who knows better about this. So if we're having difficulty on sacrificing something that we know we need to sacrifice, let's ask God for this capacity, amen? Because he knows it. He sacrificed his only son for all of us. I pray that in our daily lives, through our thoughts, through our actions, we'll be showing ourselves to be friends of God. First, by Jesus Christ as our Savior. Trust in him with our lives. Not having difficulty in following his direction and totally surrendering to him. And let's also think about this. It is possible to be a child of God and not be a friend of God. And I've heard parents talk about this. You see that in natural, you know, in the natural way also. Parents would have many kids sometimes. But, you know, sometimes it's not, you won't love one more than another, but there are ones that are not only your child, but they're also your friend. And that's amazing. And being friends is totally about commitment and trust, daily communication. It's possible to be saved and at the same time not have an intimate relationship with God that would qualify us as being called his friends. Yeah. You see, sometimes people would not have time to spend with God you know, it's by grace that we're saved. That's right. But some people would just have the opportunity to be saved, but they would not walk with God and start like a friendship with God and depend on God like daily, and having that love and that dependency and that friendship growing. Amen. It's amazing to be saved. I mean, that's the goal. Amen. Please, if you can't be friends with God, try at least to be saved. Amen. By accepting, by asking for His mercy, since we have time, let's try to be intimate. Let's try to have a stronger relationship with God. And more than any one of us, He is the one, like He's the most interested person in that relationship. I mean, He cares and He wants to be with us so much. Where are we today in this matter of the call of God upon our lives? Think about Abraham. Are we obeying as Abraham did? Have we been called to do something? God called Abraham to do that. What about the calling of God in our lives? What are we doing about this? What about questioning God and arguing with God? Are we doing this? Are we asking for certain conditions or maybe salaries for us to obey God? Like, okay, God, I'll obey you, but I need this, this, and that other. I pray that we no longer question or resist God's direction in our lives. Amen? And I invite you, all of you, to pray. I need to pray. I need to be more open to God's direction, God's orientation, God's call to my life. It's normal to think, oh, this, and that happened, so this is the way. What if God shows that that's not the way and you should do a U-turn and walk all the way around and do something different? Are we willing to do this? Am I willing to do this? Abraham was the friend of God. If we look all the Old Testament, we won't see this sentence except for Abraham. He was the only one, like, in the whole, you know, Old Testament where we can see, like, well, James said it in the New Testament, but you know what I mean, right? So he was called friend of God. I wonder how close can I be classified, can I be called friend of God? Let's pray. Dear God, dear Holy Spirit, thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your offering, your friendship to us this morning, God. Thank you for you not only provided your word, you not only provided the sacrifice on the cross, but you're calling us to be your friends. Oh, God, you're not calling us to be your servants anymore, but friends, because you want to share everything that's in your heart and that's in your mind with us, God, and we want to obey you. We want to follow your command. We want to thank you, God, for we are weak and you are strong, God. For God, we sometimes feel defeated, but you show that in the cross, you conquered everything, God. And we are more than conquerors in your name, God. And I thank you, God, for this friendship that you offer, God. I thank you, God, because you not only brought us close to you just once and then said, it's okay, it's done. No, God, you're infinite. You're so infinite and so amazing, God. And your mind is limitless. God, help us to have your mind. Help us to have your heart, God. And help us to love you, God, and to love each other, God, the way you want. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for this humbling experience, God, of sharing your word, God. Oh, God, let us be called your friends, God. Please, God, be friends with us, God. We want to follow you closer, God. We want to have better and deeper intimacy with you, God, as we never thought you would be able, God. Oh, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much, dear God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.